What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi, and that is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. So it was not the Christmas Day gift that Dolphins fans were expecting, a glorious 20-10 lead against the Green Bay Packers, slowly but surely dissipating, gone in the wind, turned into what was a promising first half, turned into a second half collapse, marred by, or I should say headlined by, Tua Tagovailoa's three interceptions, one after a row, including the final one to end the game, ultimately being Miami's fourth straight loss after they were 8-3 entering the month of December. A winless December stretch now sees the Dolphins with the 8-7 record, still in the third and final wildcard spot, but situation starting to get dire with just two games left. And on top of that, is, you know, things weren't bad enough. The following day, Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel announcing that quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has been placed in the league's concussion protocol for the second time this season. Tua played the entirety of the 26-20 loss to the Packers, but reported symptoms on Monday. He's been placed in the protocol. The five-step process to return to the field starts now. But his availability for Sunday's road game against the New England Patriots is in doubt, uncertain, in question, and it cannot come at a worse time, with the Dolphins reeling, needing to do what they can to secure a playoff spot. I mean, they actually can secure a postseason berth on Sunday with the win over New England and a Jets loss to the Seahawks. But if they're going to do that, they might have to do it on the back of Teddy Bridgewater, who has been back into up for the entirety of this season. We got a lot to get into, mainly about Tua's status, what we know, what we don't know, what that means. And that's where we'll start today. Most recently, just not too long ago, the NFL Network releasing an interview with the league's chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, who spoke about what they do know, what they don't know, and what's going on with Tua, who, as we know, sustained a really nasty concussion in week four, knocked him out for two games, and, you know, really had Miami as, you know, in the eyes of, you know, of a lot of people questioning their handling of Tua's injury, the league's handling of head injuries and whatnot. But in this interview, Dr. Alan Sills says that Tua didn't exhibit any symptoms of a concussion, any injury signs during the game. Now, I know that there has been a video circulating on social media of Tua kind of hitting the back of his head in a whiplash manner, you know, during, I believe, in the second quarter. And a lot of people have been pointing to that as maybe the point where he did sustain some head trauma, because that was in the second quarter. We all know how that third quarter went, second half went, not very pretty with Tua's, you know, three interceptions. When you kind of contrast that with, you know, his first half stats, where he was 9-for-12, 229 yards, one touchdown, a lot of people are saying, hey, maybe that head injury had him a little bit off in the second half. We don't know for sure. Dr. Sills said that, you know, they've been reviewing the tape of the game, as they do with all players who enter the protocol. They don't know for sure what exact blow led to the symptoms. But at this point, you know, Tua is in the concussion protocol. And again, I mean, this just couldn't come at a worse time for the Dolphins. I mean, we all know Tua sustained another injury, you know, his first concussion, or depending on how you see it, he sustained another head injury in week four. But you have a situation where, you know, you always have to be cautious with these head injuries, but I mean, given that Tua has a history now, I mean, you can see he has a history, you got to be more cautious. I think there was something out there that says the average return time for guys in the protocol is 9 days, which would obviously not put him on a timeline to return for Sunday's game. But truth be told, I mean, even if Tua is quote unquote cleared by the doctors, optics wise, and just in, you know, being careful, I don't know how you can put him out there. You know, we talk so much about, you know, these people, being more than the athletes they are, being human beings, for Tua being a father, being a husband, being a son, you always have to peel back the layers and look at it past the game. I mean, I personally would feel very uncomfortable watching him come back on the field on Sunday, even if he is cleared by doctors. I know obviously we always say we got to trust the experts and whatnot, but it just feels like in this situation you have to be extra careful. It's not what anybody wants to hear. I mean, nobody wants Tua to miss a big game like this where you could potentially, punch your ticket to the playoffs. But I mean, the safety comes first, and even if he is cleared, it's almost like you just really want to err on the side of caution. There's a lot of people saying shut him down for the season. He should retire. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to say that. Dr. Sills was asked that question. He even said, you got to collect all the data, collect all the information, and look at him, as a person, and what the medical information says, and then talk to him about, what decisions there are. So I'm not going to get into that. But it appears he's going to miss that game, this upcoming game. Even if he's cleared, I think you really do have to err on the side of caution, given that now you have a history of these concussions. And they do say, I mean, there's a lot we don't know about concussions, but we do know that when you experience that head trauma, that force to the head, the chances of you experiencing that head trauma again, it increases a lot if you go out there a couple of days later and you're getting hit again. So just to err on the side of caution, I really do think it's best if they just say, hey, they talk a lot. We talk a lot about protecting the player from himself. I think this is one of those situations where we got to do that.
Well, I mean, that's the big thing about concussions is what you just said, is that they, once you have one, then two, then you're very susceptible. It's why boxers get a reputation for having a glass jaw. Once you suffer a couple of knockouts, and especially if they're in close succession, or, in close proximity, rather, I shouldn't say succession, then you are more susceptible to being knocked out. And a knockout is a concussion. But not all concussions obviously result in a knockout. This is a tough call. And it's an easy call on the human front. Easy call on the human front. Okay, he misses the Patriots game. This is why you have a good backup in Teddy Bridgewater, who, you hope can, play well enough against the Patriots, a team that's kind of been kind of sinking themselves over the past few weeks. And you say, okay, let's put, protect Tua the human, the father, the husband, the son. Now, if we look at how NFL teams think, no matter what they say, there's in those Dolphins offices, if there's either, what are we risking long term with him by playing him versus what's the reward short term by playing him? That's probably the much more the conversation. And it's still a dangerous game you're playing, because you don't you get another one. In a short span of time, eventually this gets to be career ending, and the Dolphins have, if the Dolphins think Tua is their quarterback of the future, just in a, without taking all the sentiment out of it, because eventually they're going to take the sentiment out of it, make no mistake. If you think he's your guy, then you really don't risk him in a game that you might win anyway. You have a decent shot to win anyway, with your backup quarterback. And then, and you can still click, you can still get your playoff spot, which the Dolphins desperately want, but you can still get your playoff spot with Teddy Bridgewater. And you can have your quarterback, if you think Tua is your quarterback and he's your guy, you can kind of preserve him. You can preserve him and make sure that he has, you know, the full amount of time to recover. You know, and I think there's, that's the longer term view. And I think that will probably be the view that carries the day, because you got a first year head coach. If you believe he's your right head coach, you're taking a longer term view than just getting in the playoffs this weekend, or getting in this year rather, and, you know, hope you play well and, you know, get hot, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't play well, or Josh Allen doesn't play well, or, you know, some defense doesn't play well, or and you get on a little roll. As for when it occurred, if, you know, what triggered it during the game and how much it affected them in the second half, we are obviously never know.
Yeah, and I didn't mention this originally, but I mean, part of the things that the doctor said was like you can have delayed symptoms. I mean, we've said that before when we first talked about this. It can come hours, it can come days. In the case of Tua, it came, I guess, the morning afterward. So I mean, this isn't,
And you also
yeah.
don't know if you also don't know if, you know, you get tagged in the head, and, you know, you can just throw things off just enough. I mean, those, some of those interceptions look bad. And I mean, obviously one was, I think, Raheem Mostert raised his hand and said, "No, my, that was my fault.
Yeah, I
That was
took ran the wrong route, yeah.
right." And okay, so you still have two interceptions, none that which didn't, you know, didn't exactly look great. And but you don't know what the, you know, what the way the Dolphins offense works, and that, you know, if your timing's off, you know, and you're kind of, you know, you're not, it's off enough that it's noticeable in your play, but not so off that you're thinking, man, you know, that's, oof, you know, I got, you know, can I get some Tylenol over here? You know, it's possible. It's possible, that it could have affected his play. So it's, you know, I think the right decision, just on a, even just in a football sense, I think the right decision is to rest him this week, even if he's cleared. And another thing is, whatever happened, whatever hit triggered those symptoms, you know, we've all seen this, you know, the clip that a lot of people think it is, the, as he's getting tackled from behind, he goes down and hits his head. But whatever hit did trigger those symptoms or series of hits, it, the scary thing is, it's wasn't exactly one of those,
Yeah,
ooh,
he
you
got
know,
hit multiple times in
going.
that game, but it wasn't anything that like there's nothing that I remember
Right, it
really
wasn't anything
raising
you just
my
went,
attention or anybody in the press box. I mean, again, Dr. Seals said that they're like, I mean, there's several people that can notify and flag a blow to the head and maybe some injury symptoms. I mean, it's not only the player, but a coach, the team trainers, they have the independent spotters. Like he said,
there
nobody
wasn't.
spotted anything, which goes back to how tough it is to even like diagnose this because we don't know exactly what type of hits and what exactly leads to a concussion.
Yeah, I'm talking though, just the play itself. Like, whatever happened was just a football play.
Yeah.
You know, there was not a, you know, just one of those decleat. We used to call them decleaters, or ESPN used to have jacked up, whatever. You know, what do you, we just go, ooh, ah, you know, and you know somebody, you're not surprised if somebody doesn't get up. You're not surprised if somebody gets up wobbly. You're not surprised if somebody, you are surprised if somebody just pops up and walks off the field. There wasn't one of those. It's, if it was that play that, you know, the, you know, has been circulating on social media, he gets tackled from behind. That's still, that's a normal play. That's not a, that's nothing there is, nothing there is makes you think, yeah, that, oof, that, you don't want to see somebody take a hit like that. And that's and that in itself is very worrisome. That, it also speaks to the violence of the game. I mean, let's face it. They've been saying football players are too big and vast for the sport since like I was a kid, and I mean little kid, So, before anybody playing this game right now was born, and before some of the coaches were born, they've been saying that. No, the only thing that's happened is the players have gotten bigger and faster. And yeah, you can't. There are certain hits you used to be able to make that you can't hit anymore. This is still a game of big, fast, very strong, athletic humans. It's one big physics experiment about force, or physics demonstration about force and power. And, people are going, it's a dangerous game. People are going to get hit in a normal game. That's why everybody always says, you're one play away from the end of your career. You don't know. So yeah, I think if the Dolphins think Tua is their quarterback long term, there's no way they play him this week.
I mean, regardless, I mean, it could be the third string quarterback. It could be the fifth string DB. I mean, if you have a guy with multiple head injuries,
Right, but
and especially in a season,
I'm
you.
saying if the it just putting it thinking in the way NFL teams think about it, like the right thing, that's the right thing to do. If you that is the right thing to do for any player, but let's be real about the way NFL teams a little bottom line, and so thinking in a very bottom line sense. In a human sense, no, you don't play him. Just human being sense, you don't play him. You give him an extra week just to make sure. In a football, but let's be again, NFL teams still think in a football sense. They very rarely think in a truly human sense. And so, if you just think in the football sense, in the terms of your organization and your franchise, if you think he's your guy, then you also have to take care of your guy. You also have to take care of your franchise guy if you think that's what he is. So if you're going to take care of him, you're taking care of him means he doesn't play this week. And, maybe, you as you do your baseline testing and everything, if it's anything but A plus clear, you don't do, maybe you don't play him against the Jets unless even in, unless you, maybe you don't, because what are you gaining? It'd be the playoffs would be nice, but what do you gain a one and done in the playoffs to lose something more valuable maybe down the line? And so, that's what I'm saying. That, just being this, looking at things from the ugly, crass, again, bottom line way they look at things in the, in pro sports front offices for, all they like to talk about caring about people as human beings. And yeah, there's a lot of that going on, but there's also a lot of what's our risk and what's our reward?
I mean, yeah, it's overall just kind of unfortunate incident for Tua and the Dolphins. Obviously, you never want to see a guy, have multiple concussions. Obviously, he hasn't, to our knowledge, been officially diagnosed with a concussion, but he's experiencing some symptoms, so which led him to the protocol. So again, just couldn't have happened at a worse time. We obviously hope that he's doing better, and we'll obviously see how he progresses through that. I mean, the one thing I can say is you can't really cheat the 5-step protocol. I mean, there's a lot of layers to it, a lot of people that have to check off on his slow kind of upgrading up into the practice format. So we'll see how he progresses through the week with that. We're gonna take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, the Dolphins, with or without Tua, they have to play a big game in Foxborough on New Year's Day. If Teddy is pushed into the lineup, can the Dolphins get a big dub on the road? We're gonna discuss that. So stay locked with us. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast, talking all things Dolphins with David Neal. In the first half of the pod, we touched on all angles of Tua Tagovailoa's situation, who has been placed in concussion protocol after reporting symptoms on Monday. The NFL's chief medical officer said that Tua did not exhibit any symptoms of a concussion during the Dolphins game against the Packers last Sunday on Christmas, and nobody, no booth spotters or no independent neurologists spotted anything. But nonetheless, Tua is in a concussion protocol. His availability for Sunday is uncertain, in doubt. And the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel said, are moving into their practice, their prep for the Patriots, with Teddy Bridgewater taking the first team reps. And obviously, if Tua cannot play, Teddy, the hometown kid, would step in as a starter for this big game. And, you know, obviously this is not foreign territory for Teddy, because he was, you know, kind of had to take on this role earlier in the season when Tua was first out because of concussion protocol. Kind of a mixed bag. We all remember week four, Thursday night, short week. Tua is unfortunately stretchered off with that scary concussion. Teddy steps in. He almost leads a comeback effort against Cincinnati, on the fourth game of the season, but ultimately throwing a late interception on a potential go-ahead drive. He ended up just completing just a little under 61% of his passes for 193 yards, one touchdown, one interception, a quarterback rating for 84.1. The following week, we all know, is supposed to be the starter against the Jets, but he gets taken out of the game one play after the league's new protocol, pulled him out of the game. A spotter said that he showed some form of ataxia, which is imbalance, loss of balance caused by a neurological issue. He says that he didn't stumble, he didn't have any symptoms, but nonetheless, he was taken out of that game after one pass. So he didn't really get that opportunity to play after taking all the first team reps. But a week later, he steps back into duty after Skylar Thompson goes down with a thumb injury against the Vikings. Teddy throws for 329 yards, completed 67.6% of his passes, two touchdowns, but two interceptions. So, I mean, Teddy has had, he's obviously an experienced guy. He's a veteran quarterback. But this is really why they brought Teddy Bridgewater in, to be a veteran quarterback who, when they call on him in big games, he can step in and get the job done. Now, obviously, this is going to be really tough against a New England Patriots defense that, for all of New England struggles, they're really good. I mean, they've allowed the fifth fewest points all season. They have some really good pass rushers. They have some good cornerbacks, and obviously, Bill Belichick leading that defense, it's something that you have to be mindful of. But honestly, despite Tay's kind of up and down stints, as when he's been kind of called upon and out of the randomness of injuries and whatnot, I think that if he gets a full week of practice reps, he starts the game, he has that timing down, that continuity with the Dolphins wide receivers, it's not going to be what the offense isn't going to be what it's been with Tua at the height of their success this season. But I think you can have some success with Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, getting them the ball in space. But really, what I think is the most important thing, and which he did not have earlier in the season in his starts, and which the Dolphins haven't had consistently this season, is the run game and the blocking. So obviously, Teron Armstead was out of that Vikings game. That was probably the worst game from a blocking standpoint. Jeff Wilson was not around when Teddy made those two appearances in those games. The Dolphins' run game has been a lot better since then. Obviously, it hasn't been as consistent as you had hoped. But I mean, this is a game where, like, you got to lean on that. I mean, Teddy shouldn't have to throw 40 times a game. You got to run the ball a little better. You got to have the commitment to run the ball a little better. So you're not putting everything on Teddy's plate. I think this is a very, very winnable game, but the Dolphins have to play very clean football, which they did not do against the Packers. I mean, that was a game that it was 20-10, and you're like, okay, you were kind of thinking, like, are the Dolphins going to maybe like blow this out the water? And they didn't, because of the turnovers, because of the penalties, because of the missed assignments. This is a very winnable game. Like, I think that for all the team's struggles over the last four games, they've either played very, very good teams and or very, very good quarterbacks. I mean, when they played, I guess to start that losing streak, when they played the 49ers, that was a very, very good team. Potentially great team. When they lost to the Chargers, that was a very, very good quarterback. When they lost to the Bills, a very, very good quarterback, a very, very good team. Even this past Sunday, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, he might not be vintage prime Aaron Rodgers, but he made some throws that very few quarterbacks in the league can make. The Patriots defense is going to be tough, but I think there's plays to be made on offense, on defense. I'm not scared by Mac Jones, by that offense. I think the defense has to step up. I mean, they haven't been the Dolphins defense that we expected this season, but if there's any game where they got to come out and take care of business and do what we expected, it's got to be this game against a Patriots offense that really doesn't have the skill position players or the multitude of skill position players to really threaten you. I mean, it might be a low scoring type of game, but it's one of those games where you gotta do what you what we've accustomed to seeing that defense do, force a turnover, get a short field, and kind of take the pressure off Teddy, because you don't want it to be all on Teddy where it's late game. He's got to make a throw. I mean, you really want to put the pressure on Mac Jones and that offense to make a big play late.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. This is why you sign a Teddy Bridgewater. This is exactly the situation. And New England, they've gone from being that team that you've always had the feeling that they were going to do something right to win the game. It was going to be somebody's going to make a play on defense, somebody's going to make a couple plays on offense, somebody's going to make a play on special teams. You know, some opposing quarterback's going to run into his lineman's butt. It doesn't, but there's always going to be something that's going to happen for them. And lately, not so much the last couple of years. You kind of don't feel that way. I think the Dolphins, this is definitely a winnable game for the Dolphins. I think they have to work that run game, work it strong. And, you know, it just, do the simple, you know, basic old boring, you know, run game, sets up the passing game, sets up the, you know, sets up your intermediate routes, prevents people from getting deep drops, you know, work the play action game. You know, you got speed receivers and darting receivers that are tough to cover if you don't know that you've got to cover them on that down. And so, you know, run game, sets up the play action game. Makes the whole thing work. And then on defense, you know, somebody's got to step up and do something dynamic and just, you know, create something for now. Okay. And after they create something, the offense has to take advantage of it, which, you know,
Yeah, which they weren't what they weren't able to do. I mean,
which was
the
a
defense
problem on
did,
Sunday.
I was gonna say the defense did get the big
Right.
interception and Tua threw it to take the team one play later, so you can't do
Right,
that.
right, right, right. So, but you know, I think there needs to be, you know, we haven't seen really, we saw that we haven't seen the defense make that big play lately. You know, compliment the old, however you want to call it, complimentary football, team football,
On special teams too. I mean,
and exactly
special
that,
teams too.
and special Dolphin special teams is really starting to be a problem. And that can be, this is one of those games also. Like I think the Patriots still have this on special teams, although they think they got a block, you know, they got a punt blocked against the Raiders in a big play that turned the game around. Very un-Belichickian, you know, a guy who's, you know, was a former special teams coach. So the Patriots have always been excelled on special teams. This is going to be that kind of game where, you know, your special teams play can't be as sloppy, lax, just or inadequate as the Dolphins special teams have been. You know, you can't go into a game saying that the Dolphins aren't consistent enough in either facet of the game right now to go into a game saying, okay, we suck at covering kickoffs. We're not good at covering punts, or, you know, we're not the hidden yardage it of the special teams. They can't give up as much as they do, and they're not good enough for that. So this game needs to that needs to be cleaned up, or that can be one of those. We can be sitting here next week going, yeah, it was all pretty equal except for that, 77-yard kickoff return, that set up the, set up the big field goal right before halftime, or that changed momentum. This is, as you said, it's a winnable game. This is not anything close to the Patriots teams of yore. They're kind of just a team, really. They're kind of in that great mass of,
Kind of mediocrity.
2022 NFL. They're lingering around the playoffs. Maybe they're in, maybe they're out. This great glob that's, between, your upper crust, if you want to call it Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys when they when they get it together, maybe. And Texans and the entire NFC South. Yeah, they're just, they are the team version of just a guy right now. And they're that cliche writ large. But it's not like the Dolphins can sit here and say much more. They've got the Dolphins look like they should be better than they are as far as record, but
I mean, only one game better than the Patriots right now. I mean, regardless
exactly.
of
Exactly.
how everything has turned out, I mean, injuries obviously play a role, but right now, I mean, the Dolphins just one game in front of them, and the Patriots are obviously trying to gun for that final wild card spot. So, I mean, it's a really big game. I mean, as much as I think it's a winnable game, though, it's just something about Foxborough. I mean, it's like. The thing about Tua is we've always said he's 4-0 against Belichick. I mean, he just finds a way to beat Belichick. And if Tua was in the lineup, I'd for sure pick the Dolphins to win this game because I think that there's a lot of talk about that second half. And obviously, we don't know what impact the hit to his head may have played a role in the second half and particularly the fourth quarter. But I wrote it after the game that first half was encouraging enough to think that they can turn the things around for the offense. I mean, for the for as much as the struggles that the offense has had, that first half was about as good as we've seen Tua in the offense look in a while. And with Tua in that, regardless of the 4-game losing streak, with Tua as a quarterback, I mean, this is one of the most still one of the most dynamic offenses in the off in the NFL. With Teddy, I mean, there's a drop off. I mean, there's kind of a ceiling to the offense. Now, is that ceiling good enough to beat the Patriots? I think it could be, but it really comes down to like not even as much as like hitting the big plays, but negating and minimizing the negative plays. I mean, you can't have the strip sack fumbles, the interceptions. I mean, if you punt the ball, all right, punt the ball. Play the field position game and hope that your defense can make a stop. But that's the one thing. Like Tua hasn't even at Tua's worst, aside from Sunday, he didn't turn the ball over a ton. And I just wonder, like, I don't know, in that environment, I mean, the Patriots know that's a big game for them. They got to win that game to keep their playoff hopes alive. I think it's a low scoring game and even despite, how more comfortable Teddy might be, just in that environment, I think that the Patriots' defense is primed to make one play more than the Dolphins' defense can make. And I think it's one of those, just kind of like 16, 13 games, and you get a late interception or a late strip sack, and it kind of turns the momentum of the game. I think it's a very winnable game. I'll say that. I mean, there's no reason why we should be talking about this game on Tuesday and say, oh, well, the Dolphins had no shot there. Like, that's not the case. Talent-wise, head-to-head, even with Teddy in there, I think it's a game that that the Dolphins can win. I just don't know if, like, I'm not going to say, like, I wonder about the psyche of this team because they're saying they're saying the right things publicly, but it just feels like McDaniel was said, they've just allowed it to snowball for so long. It's like, is this the opportunity with everything going on with Tua and the 4-game losing streak and kind of the pressure of a playoff spot, at stake? Is this the opportunity? Is this can they in this situation, can they turn things around? I'm just not really sure about that.
What do you sense when you're in the room? And do you sense that this is a team
No,
that's well prepared?
I sense a calm about them that, like you said, they're better than their record shows, and they've said it. I mean, Jalen Waddle said, I mean, we're not this. Our record isn't. We're not an 8-7 team. Talent wise, not an 8-7 team. But again, the record is what it is at this point. Now, again, if the Dolphins reach the playoffs, I think that they're as hard of an out as any team in the AFC. Barring health. But things do change. We have to admit, team things do change when your starting quarterback isn't in there. And for all the talent that they have, I mean, the self-inflicted mistakes, the errors on special teams, the lack of game-changing plays on defense. I mean, that stuff adds up where you might be more talented on paper than a team as the Patriots, but if the Patriots execute in little areas right here, I mean, that's the difference in winning and losing a close game. If you have, four more penalties than the Patriots, or you mess up your alignment and you have a legal formation penalty like Jalen Waddle had that negates a big play and then leads to an interception. I mean, that's like the margins for being a good and great team and being a good and average team are so razor thin in the NFL. And for all the talent, the Dolphins haven't shown that they can make that leap. I mean, it's very subtle. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's a ton of teams. Most of the teams in the NFL are average, to be honest. They're
Especially this year, yeah.
yeah I mean, when we look at the finals, I mean, there's going to be a ton of teams that are 7-10, 8-9, 9-8. I mean, there's going to be a ton of teams. The Dolphins could end up being one of those teams. So that just shows you how thin the margins are. And for all the talent, they haven't shown a team to be capable of putting it all together, especially against the better teams. I mean, frankly, this stretch that they're facing right now, I mean, this is the toughest stretch that they faced outside of that early season stretch where they played the Patriots and Baltimore and Buffalo and Cincinnati. I mean, this is kind of a tougher stretch given the circumstances and the teams that they have faced at when they faced them. But they just haven't shown to be able to, beat those teams. And again, just with Tua not being there, we expect if Tua's there, all bets are off. I think that they can win this game and they can win this game handily. But not with Teddy in there, it's a lot tougher of an ask. And again, I just don't know if they're ready to rise to that moment because they've had several moments. I mean, they proved to us that they can compete with Buffalo, and they obviously beat Buffalo early in the year. But in that moment, beating them on the road, they weren't able to do it. They weren't able to do it against the 49ers, the game that everyone was anticipating. I just don't. I think we're kind of waiting one more week to see if they can clinch a playoff spot.
Well, I think this is, as you say, it's a winnable game. Again, like I said last week's game was a game if I were a bettor, I'd stay away from. And in this one, I wouldn't get out of my seat for it either. Because neither team, when you get these teams, in that middle, in that great morass, there's no consistency, and that's part of the problem. And yeah, I just see this as 21-20 one way or the other, let's see, hold on.
Flipping a coin. For those who can't, who aren't watching on video,
This is
David's flipping and he's flipping a coin.
and it comes up Carolina. I guess that's a signal for I'm not sure who that's a signal for. It comes with tails. So yeah, we'll take tails. That means a team that's in, but that's behind right in standings right now. That's New England. Okay, we'll take them 21-20. It's that close. It just
Yeah.
I don't. The special things teams thing really does bother me. It really does bother me, and I think I see New England taking care of their problems a little quicker than I see the Dolphins taking care of theirs. Again, could be wrong about that one, but I can see this. Yeah, this being a game where a couple teams plays decide it. I don't think it's impossible for Tate to have a really good game, a really solid game, and the Dolphins with a good running game, play well and look, nice nippy December game in Foxborough.
Well,
And
I saw the weather report. It's actually supposed to be kind of seasonally warm
well,
for that time, like in the 50s I saw. So I mean,
perfect football weather then.
exactly. It's
Yeah.
going to be
Yeah.
perfect football weather.
So
Sling the ball
it's
around, run the ball a little bit.
nippy if you're it's still nippy if you're Teddy Bridgewater.
If you like us
Most
down here in South
of those
Florida.
guys, most of those guys in the field.
Yeah.
If you're from SEC country, I know Teddy didn't go to it, played in the ACC, but he's
Yeah,
South
a high of
Florida.
55 on Sunday is what it's looking like at
Yeah,
Gillette Stadium. It's
that's
perfect.
good football weather. So
Yeah.
but anyway, I could see the Dolphins putting it together, but just sometimes when you get on a losing streak, you can get that feeling in your head. Okay, what's when that first thing goes wrong? That's when it all goes wrong. And I'm not saying that's what happened Sunday, but they got outscored 16-10 from that moment of that fumble,
Yeah.
or 16-zip rather,
16-0.
16-zip. Right, for the moment of that fumble. And before that you're thinking, oh, they about to run these boys out, across the county and into the ocean. And then suddenly things went the other way. That's the kind of thing that happens when teams get on losing streaks. It's not so much that everything goes against them, it's that one thing goes against them, and then they start thinking about it, thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. And that kind of mindset, like a belief, whatever, starts helping lead to other things happening to you, and you pressing or make not making good plays. So that might very well come into play late in the game if this thing's tight. The Dolphins still thinking, ooh, if we just wonder when that other shoe's gonna fall. What's gonna is when's that boulder gonna fall out of the sky and hit us in the head like with a coyote, And so I'll take the Pats 21-20, but I can just easily take the Dolphins 21-20.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I continue to say, it's a very, very winnable game for the Dolphins. The game they, I don't want to say that they have to win because they could still, obviously if they beat the Jets in week 18 and get some other stuff to bounce their way, they could still clinch a playoff spot. But again, I mean, for a team that, just a month ago we were talking about them being legitimate contenders in the AFC. I mean, this isn't the way you want to be heading into the postseason if you do make it. Obviously, again, the kind of complexion of this game completely changes if, when we get more word on Tua and his status, his availability as he's in concussion protocol. So we'll see how he continues to progress. Mike McDaniel speaking to local media Wednesday morning. So we'll definitely have some updates then. That brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys as always for tuning in. Reminder as always, like, share, comment,
Subscribe.
subscribe to the Mind Your Herd YouTube page,
Subscribe to
subscribe to the website, to the paper. We're going to have a ton of updates on Tua as well as entire Dolphins team ahead of another big time game with playoff implications. We'll be back next week to recap another weekend of Dolphins football.
We
But
hope.
until then, I mean, well, we got week 18, so wait, there's another week of Dolphins football.
Tomorrow's not guaranteed, man.
Oh
Tonight.
man, of course, of course. We'll be back next week to recap another weekend of Dolphins football. But until then, y'all take care. See ya.